2011 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. The next item on the agenda is public hearing, proposed regulation to establish a moratorium on river herring, alewife blueback herring, effective January 1st, 2012, to comply with the provisions of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Fishery Management Plan for shad and river herring. Mr. Travelstad? Good afternoon.
Last month, we gave you a really in-depth review of the river herring situation and the...
Hold on a minute. Can you cut the volume up a little bit, or can you move closer to maybe under one of those speakers, so that might be of assistance? Okay. Gentlemen, move under there and see if that works. Okay.
$2.
All right, Jack, proceed, please, and...
Okay, as I was saying, last month, we gave you a very in-depth review of the river herring situation here in Virginia and the requirements of the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission to adopt a moratorium by the first of next year or prove that the fisheries that you have are sustainable. And based on the information that we showed you, you agreed to advertise a moratorium on the possession of river herring in the state of Virginia. I'm not going to go back through that presentation. We have it here. If you have questions about any of that information, which we re-included in your evaluation package last week, we can go to those slides and review that data once again. But it is a part of the record, and you've seen it now on a couple of occasions. In a continuing effort to track down as much information on river herring as we can find, we once again contacted the folks at Virginia Commonwealth University and the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. And since your last meeting, they have provided some additional data that are the results of their monitoring that they've done in recent years. And that information is included in this month's package. With respect to the status of the resource, I think Dr. Garman's information, he's with VCU, is telling in that he sees just over the last 10 years or so an order of magnitude decline in the river herring samples that he has taken. With respect to our being able to convince ASMFC that our fisheries could go forward unregulated, the information that the Game Department provides us, they note, is more anecdotal and qualitative, not quantitative. So again, it's another example of not having the long-term kind of data sets that we need to prove sustainability. So bottom line is the information that we tend to have clearly speaks to the overall decline of that resource over the last 50 to 60 years here in Virginia. That is matched by what we see in neighboring states in North Carolina and in Maryland and in the Potomac River. And incidentally, the state of Maryland and the Potomac River Fishery Commission likewise are pursuing a total moratoria on river herring, just like you. And, you know, the other bottom line is we simply don't have long-term data sets that suggest any form of sustainability with the fisheries that we currently have. We have received 8 or 9 public comments that were included with your evaluation. All but one of those were in support of the river herring moratorium. I handed out 3 additional comments to you just now. Two of those are in support of the moratorium. The third is from a Mr. Walter Rogers, who is a pound net fisherman in the Reedville area. And I think his comments are worth noting to you. He indicates that he's not opposed to the moratorium, but he encourages the commission to fight for a small bycatch allowance through the ASMFC so that his catches on any given day in the spring aren't judged to be illegal by VMRC law enforcement. And in fact, he provides a nice photograph of what his catch can look like on any typical day. Now, this is a, you know, find the river herring in that picture type of situation. You know, his net on any given day could be full of thousands of menhaden and one or two or three or four river herring. And once the moratorium would be in place, he would technically have to search out and find those and release them back to the wild. Otherwise, potentially could get a ticket from law enforcement. Now, we said last month that obviously we're going to have to discuss with law enforcement some level of discretion so that our pound net fishery doesn't go away from here because they have one or two river herring in their net. And I know that's not the answer that Mr. Rogers wants to hear. Nobody wants to go out fishing on any given day and feel like they're subject to that day's discretion of a particular law enforcement officer that comes along. And so I would say that we will continue as a staff to discuss this entire bycatch issue with the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission to determine if there can't be some middle ground that we can reach on that subject. Under the current addendum, it's not there. You either have a moratorium or you don't. And clearly the path forward for us is a moratorium. But that doesn't mean that other fixed gear fisheries in the other states aren't going to have the same problem, whether they recognize it at this point or not. I think we will pursue those discussions. Where it leads at this point is too early to say. The ASMFC will be meeting the first week in August. The Shad and River Herring Management Board is proposed to meet during that week, and we will raise that issue for discussion at that meeting. Originally, we thought this agenda item would come up to about 1:30, and Dr. Eric Hilton and Dr. Troy Tuckey from VIMS were going to be here. I don't think they're here yet, but you have seen all of their data in the package, both last month and this month, and I think it's fairly conclusive. Beyond that, we'll be glad to answer any questions.
Do you still have a graph that you showed last month that shows the decline of the river herring? The that one, I think. I think it was a blue one, but that's pretty close.
This one goes back in.
I'm sorry.
It's the one after.
No, that's. I think it's close.
This one goes back to the 1920s.
Okay, that's it.
The others didn't go quite as far back in time.
Any questions of Mr. Travelstead by members of the commission? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to comment that I find Jack's idea about trying to have some more dialogue with ASMFC to be appealing just from a practical standpoint because, as he points out, if you're a pound netter, and you're encountering some of these fish in a high-volume catch, you don't want to operate under a cloud of uncertainty. You know, you want to have, I think, some common understanding of what the enforcement standard might be. But there is no provision for that yet in the ASMFC plan. Overall, I recognize the status of the resource, the importance of taking this action. But I think from a practical law enforcement matter, it would be good to have that dialogue so that the industry can can know what to expect from enforcement, because if a pound nutter tries to get the herring out of his catch, but at the end of the day has a handful of fish and a 10,000-pound catch, versus somebody that doesn't try to get them out and might have 100, that's a significant difference. So I would hope that'll be a productive discussion with the commission and with their perhaps law enforcement committee or other members there at the ASMSC.
Well, the good thing is I'm proud of our Marine police officers, and one thing on the policy they have is that's the discretion to arrest a warrant or summons, and that can't be taken from them. And when you're dealing in a situation like this, I think there's a happy medium to be met where the officer can determine whether someone is directing or just coming upon this as part and parcel of the normal fishing. So
let me just
proceed, please.
There are two regulations in your evaluation that we'll be asking you to adopt today. The first is Regulation 1260, and that imposes the actual moratorium. That's a new regulation. There's an amendment that is needed to Regulation 430, Section 60, Paragraph D, on page 4, that provides for a 2-inch mesh size in gill nets that are used specifically for the harvest of river herring in the spring months. And that section will need to be deleted if you adopt the moratorium.
All right, sir. Further questions? Mr. Fox?
I just have a comment. I note that Mr. Rogers is present, and maybe he's got some idea of what could be done. If he wants to speak.
I'm going to open up the public hearing right now. This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Could you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Walter Rogers, and I'm from Reedville. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good. I have a very loud voice.
Good to hear you.
I thank Jack for probably explaining it better than I could in the email, and I hope y'all get a chance to really read that and look at it.
We have.
I understand your position, and it's been stated very well the situation I will be in this year. And it's not just me; it's 20 other pound netters in the northern part of the bay, and that represents probably more than a third of our catch in the spring. And again, we're not just dealing with herring at that point. We'll be dealing with shad. We have to throw it all the shad, oversized rockfish, undersized rockfish. So it's more than just being able to throw out a couple herring. I mean, there are times we're obviously catching herring. Sometimes we're catching as many as 200 or 300 pounds. I mean, and we don't have an opportunity to segregate. I mean, we can't, once we have the fish ready to bale, we can't say, well, here are the menhaden, and we'll leave the herring in there and let them go later, or let our net down, let the herring go, or put a panel in. There's just, it's too, they're too similar in size and color. And my other comment, well, I have two other comments. One is, and I may be off base with this, but I do know Jack stated that it's either a moratorium or it's not. I think in the Potomac River there is a bycatch for shad and the pound net fishery. So along those lines, somewhere somebody convinced someone that a shad bycatch is the way to go. And I've even argued for that in Virginia. I mean, why don't the pound net fishery in Virginia have a shad bycatch? A small one, just to protect us. As you well know, a VMRC officer standing over there watching us get 10,000 pounds of fish out, and lo and behold, a shad rolls out. Well, we've thrown over 200 that day, and we miss one. Technically, he's looking at us, people on the dock looking and saying, why isn't he giving us a ticket? So, you know, there is some room, I think, to initiate some kind of bycatch. And I know, I don't know if it would help the staff or not, but I look at this chart now, and I know you need the biological terms, all the information, but to me, this is information that it is a stable catch. It's not, we're not, the levels of herring caught now are not jumping all over the place. They're still not going down. They don't have much farther to go. But maybe you can use that to say that what we're catching in the pound nets now, which is basically a bycatch now, is not affecting the overall total catch of the herring right now. I just think it's got to be a little bit of middle ground. I thank you for letting me help.
Pleasure, Mr. Rogers. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a quick question. You indicated that you interacted with the fish in the spring. How long does that, is it a specific run of fish? How long?
Yes.
How long does that interaction last?
Normally, we put our nets out the first week of March. And there are two types of herring, and I couldn't tell you which ones are which, but we call it a branch herring, which is a larger herring, and we catch them earlier. And then later, we call it a blueback or a glut herring we catch in May. So the last herring I caught this year was probably May 15th, May 18th, something like that.
Thank you.
And that is the meat of our Menhaden run as well. That's what we're targeting. The market is very, very good for the Menhaden at that point. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Tanker?
Mr. Rogers, so I understand the context of your dilemma. How often are you visited by an officer to kind of watch your catch come off the boat?
Not that often, I would say once a week.
Once a week.
But at the same time, it's just as unnerving to see the boat come by, slow down, and wave and go on. You know, I see that, you know, two or three times a week. So do they stop every time? No. Do they pull up occasionally? Yes. And again, I'm dealing with shad. At that point, I'm dealing with shad, and I will be dealing with herring and rockfish after March 25th. I think it's a 28-inch minimum or maximum size at that point. So I just don't know if you can get the feel of being in a boat with fish jumping around looking for a shad, which is an elephant in the boat, or a rockfish, compared to a herring that looks like every other fish that's in my boat.
Well, and then a follow-up question again, so I understand. And when you bring the fish on board, are they alive, dead?
They're alive. Okay. That's the one plus of a pound net fishery is they are alive. Once they go in the boat, a herring to me is even more susceptible to death than a shad. I mean, shad is much more vibrant when we throw them over, where a herring, if you can find him, you grab him, pick him up, throw him overboard, well, there's a handful of scales in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I guess anybody would tell you once the scales are knocked off, he's not going to make it.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Where do the herring go if you miss them? Do they just go in with the Menhaden?
Yep, they go into bait. And another issue is a lot of times we break them for herring roe.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this provision provides for possession of herring roe or not. I don't know.
I would think not.
and there is, actually, believe it or not, there has, since North Carolina's, there's been a good market developed for catfish bait. I've heard of getting as much as $1, $1.50 a piece for a herring. My grandfather fished in the 40s, 50s. He was part of this boom in the herring fishery. And if he got 2 cents a pound, he was happy. And now just as a whole fish, we're selling for as much as 60, 70 cents a pound. So there's an incentive for us to pick them out to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it'll be maybe even more incentive to pick them out and not to go to jail next year. So.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Travis, did you want to comment on the Potomac River fishery shad bycatch and the science behind it?
Current situation that Mr. Rogers describes with respect to shad and the fact that the Potomac River allows a bycatch there is accurate, but it's going to change because after ASMFC finished adopting the moratorium provisions on river herring, they moved to American shad, and by 2013 are going to require all of the states to have a moratorium unless they can prove sustainability or whatever type of fishery they have. So while Potomac River has a bycatch allowance now, they're going to be forced by ASMFC to prove sustainability there. So we're right back, or we will soon be, in a situation with shad that we're now at with river herring. So, and again, on the bycatch issue, as I indicated, we want to have those discussions with ASMFC, but keep in mind, those discussions can go two ways. They can also go the way of, wait a minute, if there's gear out there that's killing river herring, then maybe we need to get rid of that gear. So we have to be, it's a delicate discussion that we have to be careful with, and hopefully it'll go our way. But there will be people in the room, as you well know, who would prefer it to go the other way.
Yeah, as always. Anyone else in the audience wish to be heard? Yes, sir. Come forward. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
Fine, sir. State your name for the record, please.
My name is David Adams. I'm from up in Providence Forge. I have a bait and tackle shop and run a convenience store right on Route 60. And I've been dealing with this proposed closure of our herring fishery now for 2 or 3 years. Jack's had some meetings up that way. The herring fishing to me means to me about 25% of my business in March and April, particularly April, usually by the 10th, 15th of May, like that gentleman said, it's about over. That's a good part of my business, that's being affected. But it's more to it than that. I grew up fishing down at Walker's Dam for catching herring, and it's been a tradition. And y'all are talking about taking it away. Now, I realize ASMFC has got a lot to do with this, and it's all tied in with the Magnuson-Stevens sustainability. But when you got millions of fish that are coming up to Chickahominy and James, the common man sitting here thinking, why are they closing the season? Now, that said, I'll admit there aren't as many fish there as was in the 60s and in the early 70s. But if you look at that chart, about the time they started really going down, about the time blue catfish started coming up the rivers, too, where they turned them daggone blue catfish loose. Now, you know, this gentleman here was talking about that earlier, but they're eating up everything, and they're eating up the herring, too. We had a pretty good run of herring at Walker's Dam this year, and fishermen did pretty well. They don't catch them every day, but weather affects that too. Last 4 or 5 years, it's been better than it was 10 years ago. Now, according to Jack, they don't have a whole lot of data that goes back to track this with. I mean, they have some, but really don't have a lot of data. I've asked them if they've been to Walker's Dam to see what we have there, and I don't believe they have. Have they? Have y'all had anybody at Walker's Dam? So, to the common man, when they say that they haven't been there to check, and then we go down there and go fishing and see a lot of fish, it's hard for us to understand why this is happening. We've proposed that you could put some kind of a limit on, maybe limit the dates, to keep it open. A lot of young people have learned to fish there at Walker's Dam, catching herring, and that's a good thing. So I'm against this moratorium, and I've been against it from the first heard about it. I mean, it seems to me that the commission here could have maybe done a little something sooner. I mean, this has been coming on now for 4 or 5 years, and maybe y'all could have done some studies to prove the sustainability, to at least keep a limited fishery open for at least the recreational fishing. A lot of the commercial herring fishing went by the way when they stopped shad fishing up that way. And you can't shad fish, they quit net fishing for herring too. So those numbers are not going to show up either. I was down here at a meeting about a year ago, maybe a little longer, and an older fellow was on one of y'all's committee said that the Russian fleet broke up the big block of herrings offshore back in the middle 70s. Well, that corresponds to what that staff says too. But we still have a good run of herring in the James and the Chickahominy. I can't speak for the other group. And what we are asking for is for some kind of a limited season. Now, it may be too late, but maybe not. But I wish y'all would come up there and at least spend the time, send people up there to look at what we have before y'all take that season away, because who knows when we'll ever get it back. I mean, what's it going to take to prove sustainability? How many years? What kind of data? So it's a big deal to me.
I understand. Thank you, Mr. Adams.
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir.
Mr. Chairman, to the official. My name is Bill Britton. I live in Charles City County, Virginia. I worked for the county for 22 years as the economic development director there, and was very much involved in the public hearings that we did have up in Charles City and in New Kent, from the county standpoint as well as from a personal standpoint. Our board of supervisors were very interested in seeing the fishing continue. We did have quite a few people that came in and talked. All of them were basically recreational fishermen and people that grew up fishing in Charles City, on the James and on the Chickahominy. That's no question that there is a difference. I started fishing there 22 years ago, and have been fishing every year for 22 years, drift net. I've had my license for the drift net for that time. I was here back when we only had 100 feet to fish. You gave us 300 feet because I think we showed you that you can't fish 100 foot net. Right. And that's done well for us. Throughout the last 20 years, we've had a continual good luck with fishing. We don't catch a lot of fish. We don't go down there to catch hundreds of fish. We, usually two of us, have been doing it for the 20-some years together. We put up about two 5-gallon buckets a year salt herring. That's about anywhere from 100 to 125 fish a bucket. And then we catch bait. And fresh herring is the best bait for the blue catfish during the seasons that they're in. There's no question they bite it and bite it well.
When are they not in?
I'm talking about the herring being in.
Oh, okay.
The herring being in. Gotcha. And we catch the big fish when we have the herring, the fresh herring. I agree with Mr. Adams. The information that we have, and according to Mr. Travels, that is very limited, very limited. And I think the information that we have just talks to the commercial fishing and what has happened in the commercial fishing, not in the recreational fishing. So if there is a way that you could put a moratorium on the commercial fishing and have limits, and I'm talking limits in season, limits in number of fish. A couple people have, in the public hearings that we had, say 1 5-gallon bucket a day, 100 fish, 125 fish. The game wardens and the fisheries people don't have to come and count the fish. You got a flat bucket, you're fine. I know that we've been working and talking to ASMFC and going to their hearings. We've tried to participate because that's what you have to do. You guys have to hear from us. But when we finish our two buckets apiece for putting up the salt, if we catch, and all we really need is about 20 fish for 2 days. If you got fresh fish for 2 days, we can keep them fresh for 2 days. 20 fish a piece, that's what we fish for bait. So fishing for bait is something that I hope you might consider. Hook and line. If you don't go with the recreational netting, just go with hook and line. Limit it so that the recreational fishermen can continue, and require reporting. The whole time that I've been fishing, and we have asked for people to come fish with us, get in the boat to see what we are catching. And we haven't seen that. We'd love to see it. But we need time to show them that it is sustainable. It has been sustainable for us for about the last 20 years. It's been up and down, and but what we do, it's been sustainable all the way through. So limit it to that, so that we can continue. And we do start a lot of fishermen at Walker's Dam. I've taken, I can't tell you how many kids. That's a great time. If you've not done it, you should, because it's a great time for, and my wife never fished. She started fishing over there, and now she fishes, and that's a good thing. Thank you for your time. We sure appreciate it.
Mr. Britton, but going back to your comment about the recreational versus the commercial aspect of it,
yes,
I think it's important that I call to your attention the law that we deal with pertaining to the allocation of the fisheries. When we're developing fishery management plans, and the specific section is 28.2203, and to paraphrase the area which you're, where you're talking about, it says, number four, conservation and management measures shall not discriminate among user groups. If it becomes necessary to allocate or assign fishing privileges among various user groups, such allocation shall be fair and equitable to all fishermen, reasonably calculated to promote conservation, and carried out in such a manner that no person acquires an excessive share of such privileges. So to outlaw the commercial with, to the benefit of the recreational, would be against the law as far as the Commonwealth of Virginia is concerned.
Well, just thought I'd let you know. Then I hope that you would put limits and smaller season on everyone.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Walt.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox.
Won't we be able to have a catch and release hook and line fishery or not?
I'm certain that, Jack, go ahead. Some do and some don't.
Historically, when Virginia adopts moratoria, we do not prohibit catch and release, simply because it's difficult to
discriminate what gets on the hook,
whether what you're going to catch, right?
What you're going to catch, right? So as long as you release it, you're okay. So, and we have catch and release recreational fisheries for shad up the James River near Richmond. It's,
right.
You know, it's an ongoing situation, popular.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard? Public hearing? Okay, not. Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Spud Parker. I live in Reedville. I just want to make two quick sort of general observations, which you may dismiss as, well, we knew that.
I doubt we'll do that.
As I sit and listen to this and examine this situation, it strikes me that you're, in a sense, in the same situation as the Greek government, because you on one side, you've got the European Union telling you what you've got to do, and on the other side, you've got your populace saying, no, you can't do that to us. And you are more or less powerless in that sense, and I think that's too bad. The other comment I would make, though I'm in the bycatch department here, and we hope that you will use the word fight and try to do something for a bycatch. We hope, and I understand Jack's concern about the delicacy of balance. But it brings to mind a feeling that I've had a long time listening to the environmental efforts to manage fisheries and manage this, that, and the other thing, and that it's so rarely do management councils or committees or something like that have somebody in sort of the anthropological department or with the anthropological perspective? The focus is all on the fish and not on the man who is making a living trying to catch those fish in a sustainable fashion. You can't do anything about that unless somebody up here is an anthropologist or you want to appoint one sometime. But I think that's key. What's happening in Mr. Rogers' situation is when he goes out each morning with this complete moratorium, he is faced with a situation that either he's going to be a criminal, and regardless of the discretion of the law enforcement officer, if the law enforcement officer's he's got a hangover that morning or something like that, or he's got a grudge against Mr. Rogers, then that discretion is not going to be balanced. He's either going to be a criminal or he's got to give up his livelihood. And that's sort of the sum and substance, it seems to me, of a complete moratorium. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, for your informed comments. I appreciate it.
One question.
Can you come forward?
Go ahead, sir.
Is it possible to put moratoriums on the rivers themselves? In other words, could you have...
River by river.
By name?
That would be possible, but that would, I don't think, would be fundamentally fair. I think...
By river, by year. In other words, that way you get information. That way you can have the information of whether it's sustainable or not.
I don't think that would satisfy the request or the requirement of the ASMFC for a moratorium by January 2012. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
I have one question, Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Plumlee.
Is there a reason for bringing it about that I didn't catch in the materials yet, and maybe I missed it, about making it effective July 1? Is that as opposed to the beginning of 2012?
I don't think it's going to have much of a difference.
Wouldn't have any impact?
Not because of the fishery and the way that the fishery moves. The fishery's already been prosecuted during the run for this year, and it will not have started by January of 2012, correct?
And this just gives us time to give people notice.
Give them notice and
before they have to worry about it. But that's a spring fishery for the most part.
I didn't know if that would be an opportunity to do, and you've probably already thought through this, more of an educational period to get people up to speed on the rules and get maybe some of these issues about law enforcement worked out so that there's less conflict or reason for conflict there.
Right, and we'll have that 6 months. We're proposing a January 1 effective day.
I'm sorry, I see recommended July 1.
Did I have that wrong?
Page 3 says July 1.
I think last month we had said January 1.
In the opening paragraph, it does say January 1, 2012, but in the recommendation, it's saying July 1, 2011.
Typo. That's probably a Freudian slip due to the fact everything else comes due July 1st, I would think.
Yeah, I would recommend
January of 2012.
Okay.
2012.
Okay.
Thank you for catching up, Mr. Palmer.
Right.
Mr. Fox?
So we can work on the bycatch, you said carefully, but I guess we cannot put that in the motion. How do we proceed?
You can ask staff to pursue discussions with ASMFC on the bycatch issues, sure.
And we will be up there in the realm first week in August anyway, so we could certainly have face-to-face contact then.
Don't expect ASMFC to resolve that issue between now and next spring. You know, it takes them, even when we're all in agreement, it takes them a year to adopt an amendment or an addendum. So it's a lengthy process.
But Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to the anthropological concern that was raised, I think I would submit that the stakeholders throughout this discussion have actually done a very good job of documenting and articulating the importance of this fish to Virginia's history, culturally and economically. At the last month's meeting, I think, in fact, the commissioner pointed out that herring roe was a staple in many Virginians' diet going back throughout our history. So this is a culturally important fish. I think it would also be appropriate to make the motion in Greek today. I would agree with that perspective. We're in an even more difficult position, though, than being caught between different bodies. We lack the evidence scientifically to build a case for sustainability. And if we had evidence, for example, if we had an assessment that was specific to one river system that documented that, in fact, we could articulate sustainability in that river system, we'd be in a different position than we're in today. The available lines of evidence don't indicate a sustainable fishery, and we're not in a position to initiate a stock assessment. So I think we're really in a difficult position in that regard, and it's unfortunate that we don't have a sound scientific basis to argue for sustainability. Furthermore, the available evidence doesn't point favorably to that. And there are a lot of questions about what's going on with river herring offshore. The other management bodies that are involved in this discussion are addressing that. There have obviously been a lot of habitat impacts on this fish.
And so it is a very unfortunate situation at the end of the day, but I think staff has really recommended the only viable alternative for action. But I would agree that it would be appropriate in the motion to direct the staff to, or encourage the staff to explore bycatch or tolerance type allowances with the ASMFC in their discussions.
Further comments?
I have one.
Mr. Tanker?
It would seem to me as well, if we're going to think about bycatch, you know, you listen to Mr. Adams and Mr. Britton talk about the fish that they see, and they've seen no real decline in the fishery in the past decade. But apparently people do catch fish there, and so you have to think to yourself, if we would allow bycatch for commercial purposes, that some limited recreational catch may be equally appropriate. I just feel as though from their testimony, it seems as though that area does have fish, and that a small amount caught perhaps is something almost as close as we can get to a moratorium. I don't know what staff thinks of that.
Well, again, it's a question of, I mean, we know there are fisheries around the state, not just at Walker's Dam. But what we have seen is something we refer to as a shifting baseline, in that, yes, people see fish there now in great numbers, but they sometimes forget what those numbers looked like 30, 40, 50 years ago, or even 20 years ago. Remember, most of your recreational fisheries occur at choke points, you know, where these fish are coming back to spawn. So they're in the very smallest streams where they're going to be spawning, or they're running up against dams, which makes them particularly vulnerable or easy to harvest. So, you know, forevermore, you're going to see river herring at Walker's Dam in some numbers, because, you know, that's about as far as they can get, unless they can get over the fish passage facility there. And even if we could document some small level of harvest would be okay at those spots, you have to remember that those same fish, before they got there, are vulnerable to harvest out in the ocean from trawl fisheries out there. As they come into the bay, they'll encounter pound nets and gill nets, and as they make their way up the fishery. So while someday we might be able to prove that some small amount of harvest at the choke point at the dam or in the stream is okay, the question is, how do we account for all of the mortality that might occur up to that point? That mm-hmm. makes it that much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something we'll keep an eye on. We'll continue to evaluate the surveys that the various agencies do conduct. And, you know, that'll be our first indication that the resource is starting to respond to a moratorium. And then ultimately, hopefully, we can get some funding and collect the right kind of data to prove sustainability.
Further comment? Matters before the commission?
My only comment, I'm supportive of the moratorium, both for the reason that it's being forced upon the state, but also I think you need to put a plan of sustainability for this particular species. I don't know quite how you do it without landing data and other data that we're now going to be without, and without a step-by-step plan on how to get a sustainability plan out there. So while I'll support it, I would ask that it be made part of the motion also that there be some direction regarding a plan to get back on the path.
Evaluation.
Yes, that we'd want to get as quickly back to sustainable fishing of this species as we can, as opposed to a moratorium, which is the least favored method to go.
So is that a motion?
That's not I can make a motion if you would all like me
sure.
to do that. So I would make a motion to approve the recommendations made by staff regarding 1260-10 through 40 and the amendment to Section 60D or a moratorium against the possession of any river herring in the Commonwealth of Virginia effective January 1, 2012, and I would encourage staff to examine the issue of bycatch, the problem that's been described at this hearing regarding bycatch, and also that they put together a plan to get the state back on sustainable fishing of this species at the earliest possible time.
Second to the motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for the presentation. Did you get the sections? Okay.